Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you this morning once again. I hope everything's going good with you. I know things is really picking up around the church and in our families and stuff with Christmas coming. And that's kind of what we're going to look at this morning is getting ready for Christmas. But you know, everywhere you look, somebody's doing something trying to get ready for Christmas, aren't they? So I hope that you have all your ducks in a row and getting ready. I know time's coming up. I know the kids are talking about getting out of school, and they got about another week and a half, I think, and then most of them will be out for their Christmas holidays, and I know our 9 grandchildren are looking forward to that and being some time off. I think they get more time off now than they ever did before, but that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 3, beginning with verse 22 and reading through verse 36, the end of the chapter. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 22, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter, verse 36. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you once again that we can have this opportunity to come and share your word, Lord, on the radio. We thank you that we can share it in our church this morning without threat of danger or persecution in any way. And so, Lord, we praise you that we still have that freedom and that liberty. Lord, we know there's a lot of people in our nation today who want to take that away from us, but Lord, we're going to hold on to it tight. We praise you this morning because we're entering into this great Christmas season just thinking about your love for us, that you'd want to come in the form of a human babe and then, Lord, to live among us on those 33 years. Lord, we just thank you for what you did for us to bring us salvation. So we pray if there's one lost this morning that they'll come to know you today so that they can really experience the Christmas spirit, Lord, and really what it's all about. I pray that you forgive me of my sins. Make me a vessel you can speak through this morning, Lord, that it always be your words and not ours. Bless our hearers this morning, Lord, those that may be shut in and not able to get out this morning, those that may be sick and shut in just for this weekend. We pray for their healing. Lord, we pray for those that may be traveling today. And Lord, whatever they're doing, just watch over them. And Lord, just bless the word. Let the Holy Spirit go before us, Lord, as we give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. So this morning, as I said, we're going to look at getting ready for Christmas. You know, people do a lot of things to get ready for Christmas, do they not? Some are very frugal and they're very disciplined. And so every year at their place of employment or either on their own, they start their little Christmas account and they save money all year long to get ready so that when Christmas gets here, they're not caught, you know, trying to put everything on a credit card or something like this. So, you know, some people are really preparing. Others, you know, wait till the last minute. I know you go in the store on Christmas Eve and there's people in there trying to get those last minute gifts and everything. Then we have, you know, those that as soon as October gets here, they start getting the lights out and they start decorating the yard and they start putting up decorations in the house and the trees and just so many different things that we do to get ready for Christmas. We start making plans. We start putting dates on the calendar. I know at our church and with our family, it's a busy time. You got this Sunday school party on this weekend. You got pastors and wives banquet on this weekend. You got our family meeting this weekend. Then you got to meet with your wife's family. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. All the preparations. And then we talk about the food. Now, that's one of the best things, isn't it? That we start talking about what we're going to have to eat. And, you know, we try to save our money and buy us one of them honey-baked ham. Lord, you can buy the whole hog what a honey-baked ham costs now. But, whoo, they good, aren't they? But you make those preparations, getting ready for Christmas. At our church, boy, our choir's been practicing. They've been getting ready for the cantata. It'll be on the 17th at night. We invite you to come out 6 o'clock on Sunday night, the 17th. Our handbells will be doing the music in the early morning service. We'll only have one early morning service that morning at 11 o'clock. We'll have Sunday school at the regular time. And so we invite you to come out and celebrate with us. But they've all been practicing. They're all getting ready for Christmas. And then even me, you know, I got to prepare Christmas messages, right? Well, you know, there's only one Christmas story in the Bible, right? The birth of Christ. Of course, it's told several different ways in several different gospels, but we see that there's really only one story about it. And so this morning, we want to look at something a little different, as I talked about, getting ready for Christmas. And really, what we're going to look at is the role of John the Baptist. John the Baptist's role was what? To get ready for the coming of Jesus. That was his whole purpose was to get ready for the coming of Jesus. Now, we know the story of John the Baptist, how that his parents were not able to have any children. They had gotten on up in years. They had not had any children. And we know that Elizabeth gets pregnant. God has promised her that she will bring forth a son. And we know that when Mary finds out that she's expecting, she goes and tells Elizabeth and tells her the story about how this is God's son and what happens. It said that John the Baptist leap within Elizabeth's womb. Wasn't that a marvelous thing to just think about? Now, people think that a fetus is not a person, but John the Baptist leaped in Jesus' womb. But we know that John the Baptist was to come before Jesus and to make ready his coming, to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Christ. And so that was his whole purpose. He was about 6 months ahead of Jesus in his ministry. He's 6 months older than Jesus was. And so we want to look at that as we think about getting ready for Christmas, the role that John the Baptist played, that we as Christian people, we ought to be like John the Baptist, especially right now at this time of the year. We ought to be getting people ready to understand the true meaning of Christmas. I know as I have traveled in and out of the stores and businesses and witnessed to people, you know, that's one of the things that I asked them. I asked them about, well, do you have children? And they say, yeah. And I said, well, are you getting ready for Christmas? Oh, yeah. You buy it? Oh, yeah. And they get to telling me what all they done bought the child. And then I'll ask them, I say, well, do you tell them about Jesus, the real reason? And, you know, it's so good to hear a lot of people say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know who Jesus is. We teach our children about that's the reason for Christmas. And, you know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to make people ready for Christmas, not just in the buying of presents, not just in cooking the food, not just in planning the parties, not just in decorating the house, but we got to get people ready for Christmas by telling them about who Jesus is. And that's exactly what John the Baptist did. So let's go on in. I guess we better read the scripture before we start preaching, haven't we? So let's read the scripture then in John chapter 3, beginning with verse 22 through verse 36. He says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth, and he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath sent set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we see in this story, we see that Jesus has just got through with that famous conversation that he had with Nicodemus. You know, we love that John 3:16, and we know that was in the conversation that he was having with Nicodemus about how he could have eternal life. And that's when God tells him, you know, that you must be born again. And he says, how can I do that? And so then he tells him, you know, that you know, he's not talking about that physical being born again, but he must be born of the Spirit. And then Jesus goes on and shares with him about how that Jesus came into this world, that he is the Son of God. Whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life, because God loved us so much. And so after this encounter with Nicodemus, it says, and then after these, that Jesus and his disciples, they came to Judea and tarried there, and John was there near in Enon, and he was there baptizing, and I love what he said because there was a lot of water there. You know, when we think about in their day and time in the desert places, you know, you had the Jordan River there that they baptized a lot in, but there just wasn't a whole lot of water there to baptize around in. But he said there was water there, so John the Baptist was gathered there, and people were coming and being baptized to him. Now, I like what it said in verse 24, he was not yet in prison. In other words, kind of alluding to what was fixing to happen to John the Baptist, and we know exactly because he confronts Herod because of taking his brother's wife. We know that John the Baptist ended up being beheaded. But this is right before that. And we see that there's a question that came up amongst John and some of the Jewish people about purifying some of John's disciples that were following him. And there was question about, well, Jesus and them, the disciples, they're over here, they're baptizing. And you're over here baptizing. You know, kind of which one are we supposed to follow? You know, that was the big thing that happened when Jesus came on the scene was, well, John, are you the Messiah or is Christ the Messiah? Are you the Messiah or is Christ the Messiah? Do you know that there are actually still people who are John the Baptist's disciples? There are not many of them, but there's still a group of people who still call themselves disciples of John the Baptist. But John the Baptist makes it very plain in these verses in which we read that, no, I am not the Messiah, but Jesus is that Messiah. I am the one that comes before him. I am the one that is preparing the way for him to begin his ministry. And so I want us to look at six different things that we see in these verses that are so important that I believe that we need to see, that John said that we need to think about as we get ready for Christmas, as we get people's hearts right and ready for Christmas. So let's look at the first thing is we see that he was sent before him, but he's not the Christ. Number two is he was sent by God, but he was not God's son. Well, number three is we see I must decrease and he must increase. Number four, we see that John says I'm earthly, but he is from above. Number five, he says the Son giveth everlasting life. John couldn't give you everlasting life. And then the last thing that we'll see is actually found over in Acts where it says John fulfilled his course. He did what he was supposed to do in preparing people, getting ready for the coming of Christ and getting ready for what we would say the coming of Christmas. So let's look at these things in this conversation that we see that John's having here with his disciples. First, I said, is that John says, I was sent before him, but I'm not the Christ. Look back at verse 28. He says, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. So we see in these verses right here that he says, I've told you before and four and four, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. God has sent me before him to prepare that way for Jesus. Now, you go all the way back to the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 40. As we see, it talks about that one that was crying in the wilderness. That voice crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the coming of the Lord. And what did it say? He would fill in every valley. He would cut down every mountain. He would remove every obstacle. He would make the way for Christ. That it would all point towards Jesus. See, John is saying, no, I'm not him. Things are not pointing to me. I am here to point you to Jesus. I am sent before him to prepare that way, to make sure that there's no doubt, that there's nothing in his way, that you will know that it is all about Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 23, there John said, he said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness that we just talked about in Isaiah 40, that maketh straight the way of the Lord, and said that he is the prophet of Israel. He says here, you heard what the prophet said in Isaiah 40. He says, I'm that one. I am that voice crying in the wilderness. No, I'm not the Christ. No, I'm not the Messiah, but I am sent to what? Prepare the way. I am sent before him. You know, brothers and sisters, we're not the Christ. It's not about us, is it? Christmas is not about us. It's all about Jesus. But it seems as if we are bound and determined every year to make it more and more about us. Every time we look around, it's more and more about us and less about Jesus. But we are sent before him, but we are not the person. We're not the people. We're not the purpose and the person of Christmas. Jesus is. He is the Christ. So first John says, yes, I'm sent before him, but I'm not him. Well, let's look at the second thing that he tells them. He said, I am sent by God, but I am not God's son. Look at verse 29. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of what? Of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore it is fulfilled. So he said, you know, I am sent by God. I am the friend of the bridegroom, but I am not the bridegroom. I am not the bridegroom, but I am sent by God. And so we see that God sent him, and we see that God sent John the Baptist to be that forerunner. And we go back, as I said in the beginning, of his miraculous birth. We see that Elizabeth had been buried, and then God promises her a son. We know that Zechariah couldn't speak, you know, because he got a lad when he found out they were going to have a son. And so they shut his mouth, and they told him they would name him John. And what happens? That's exactly what happens. You know, everybody was thinking, well, he'll be Zechariah Jr., he'll be Zechariah. But no, when John is born, they asked him, said, well, what's his name? And that's when he speaks. His name will be John. And we see that God had prepared him. God sent John. But there's one important thing. He was not the Son of God. He had an earthly father. He had Zechariah, his father. He had an earthly father. He was not born of a virgin. Elizabeth was not a virgin. He was not born of a virgin that we see that Elizabeth was. That Mary was, excuse me. We see that he had an earthly mother, he had an earthly father, and therefore he says, I am not the Messiah. Because why? He says, because God sent me, but I am not the Messiah. See, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of difference being sent by God and being the Son of God. And so they were worried, and they was thinking, well, you know, you had this miraculous birth and you had this special calling, you must be the Messiah. He said, no, there's a big difference for me. I am sent by him, but I am not his son, not God's son. In John 1, 33 and 34, it says, and I know that I am not but he that sent me to baptize with water. He said, up to whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same would be with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. So we see that John says here in the first chapter of John, he says what? No, I am not him. I am not the Son of God. But he that sent me, who is this? Who that sent me to baptize with water? God. God sent him. God gave him a special purpose. He says, but yet he told me, ever who I see that Spirit descending like a dove and resting upon him, he said, then I will know that this is the Son of God. And this is what John said. I bear record. I witnessed him. I witnessed that this is the Son of God. I am just the friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom gets the bride. I am just his friend. But he says, I rejoice and my joy is full when I see the bride coming and the bridegroom coming. I rejoice with them, but yet I am not the Son of God just because God sent me. You know, brothers and sisters, that's the way we as preachers are, and we as ministers. We may be sent by God, but we're not the Savior. You know, I mean, we can't save anybody. We're just sent by God to prepare people to come to know Jesus. We prepare people for Christmas every day of the week, that we can tell people about who Jesus is. We have a special calling. We are sent by God, but we're not the Son. Only Jesus is the Son. John had a special birth. He had a special calling. But brothers and sisters, he was not the Son of God. Only Jesus is that Son of God. Well, then we see that he goes on down in verse 30, and what does he say? I've got to decrease, and he must increase. He says in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now remember, his followers come to him, and they say, hey, Jesus and his disciples, they're over there, and they're baptizing, and people's going over there, and hearing them, what are we going to do about that? You know, what we need to stop them. You know, isn't it amazing how so many times it seems as if we as Christian people think we're in competition with each other? Have you ever seen churches, you know, feel like, well, we're in competition with one another? Look, if we are an evangelical church, if we believe in Jesus as being the only way to salvation, that he is the only Son of God, and if we're preaching that word and we're teaching that word, then listen to me. We're all in this together. I mean, we're not in competition. What our church does and what another church does, we're not in competition or shouldn't be in competition with each other. We're here to spread the gospel. And you know, that's a big problem. If we're going to reach our county, if we're going to reach Pike County and Macomb for the Lord, then we've got to understand we've got to decrease and Jesus has got to increase. We got to quit thinking it's all about us. We got to quit worrying about what the other church is doing and what the other people's doing. And we need to focus on what are we doing? What are we doing for the Lord? What are we doing in preparing people for Christmas? What are we doing in sharing the gospel? And this is what John said. John said, I've got to decrease. I mean, I have prepared the way. I've been telling people about him. And now it's time for you to follow him. You remember John sees Jesus and he tells them, his disciples, you know, you need to go follow him now. I've prepared you. I've taught you. I told you that he's coming. And here he is. And you need to follow him. In John chapter 1, verse 27, he says, he it is who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch is what I am not even worthy to latch. Did you hear that? He that comes after me is preferred before me. Did you hear that? He is preferred before me. Even though he came after me, even though he didn't start his ministry to 6 or 7 months after me, but yet I am here to prepare the way for him. And he is preferred before me. You know, when we start putting our denominations, we start putting our churches, we start putting ourselves before Jesus as preachers. I mean, when we start rewriting the Word of God and when we start changing the Word of God and when we start saying, well, God really didn't mean that. Aren't we really putting ourselves before God? Aren't we really putting ourselves before Jesus? You know, are we trying to sell people on being a Baptist? Or are we trying to sell them on accepting Jesus as a Savior? You know, being a Baptist won't save anybody. What we got to do, we got to prepare the way of Jesus in the people's heart. We've got to decrease, and we got to put him to the forefront. We got to magnify Jesus, and we got to hide ourselves behind the cross and allow Jesus to shine forth. And that's what preparing for Christmas is, decreasing on us and shining the light on him for Christmas. Well, let's look at the fourth thing. We see that John tells them what? He says, I'm just earthly, but he's from above. Look at verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is just earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. He is above all. Because why? Because he comes from heaven. I come from the earth. You know, John says, you know, I'm just born here. I'm sent by God. I had a special purpose from God, but, you know, I was born by earthly means. You know, I have an earthly father and earthly mother. But Jesus came from above. He came from the portals of heaven. And therefore, because he is above from heaven and came from above, what did he say there in verse 31? Then he is above all. There is none above him. That's the reason he must increase and I must decrease. In John chapter 1, verse 30, he says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, wait a minute. Didn't you just say earlier, preacher, that Mary, you know, went to Elizabeth and tell her she was expecting the Son of God, and Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant, so that means that John was 6 months old. Yeah, but what does John say here? He says, because I came from the earth, even though, you know, I came to prepare a way, he says, you know, this man may came after me, but he really was before me. See, Jesus was where? He was in heaven. He existed. Jesus didn't start existing in Bethlehem, folks. You know, a lot of people think that's when Jesus started existing, at his birth in Bethlehem. No, Jesus was there at the foundation of the earth. In that Genesis, we've been studying Genesis in our Sunday school. In Genesis, where it talks about, and let us make man in our image. Even before then, we see even when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go through that fiery furnace, there was a fourth man in there. Who was that fourth man? It was Jesus. Even Nebuchadnezzar said he looks like the Son of God. Looks like the Son of Man. Look at him walking around in there. See, Jesus was before John, even though John was born before Jesus, but Jesus existed before John was ever thought about. Because Jesus has been here since the foundation of the earth. He's been here since the beginning of the world. And therefore, John says what? He is before me. Even though he came after me, but even though I was here, but yet he's preferred to me because he was before me. He is that Son of God. I am not the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. I am not. But I am that voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way to Christ. And that's who we are. Jesus was here before us. Before us. Not just because he was born in Bethlehem way before us, but he was here before anybody else. In the beginning was God. And in the beginning what? The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and through the Word all things were created. He goes back to that John 1:1 as he teaches us. So let's look at the fifth thing. He said it is the Son that giveth everlasting life. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. In John chapter 1, once again, back in verse 29, it says, the next day we see that John saith, Jesus coming, and seeth Jesus coming, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. See, John, even though he was before Jesus, even though he started his ministry before, he was out there baptizing people. He was telling them to repent. Repent and be baptized. Repent of your sins. He understood and he knew he couldn't save anybody. He couldn't save anybody. And when he sees Jesus coming, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which does what? Taketh away the sins of the world. See, John, what he was doing, it was just something symbolic of what people could experience in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Get ready. The Savior's coming. Believe on him. Trust in him. Because in him, you can have everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son, at verse 36, hath everlasting life. But if you don't believe on the Son, then the wrath of God is going to abide on you. John was saying, I came to prepare the way because I can't forgive your sins. I can't save your soul. I can't save your life. Only Jesus can do that. I was sent by God, but I'm not the Messiah. I was sent by God, but I'm not God's Son. I came before him, but I'm really was behind him because he's been here since the foundation of the earth. I got to decrease and he's got to increase because I'm just earthly and he is heavenly. He is from above. He is from the portals of heaven. He's been sitting there with God and I'm just here to prepare the way and to point you to Jesus because only Jesus can give you eternal life. You know, brothers and sisters, we talk about all the things that we get for Christmas and all the presents. You know, I ask the little kids, well, what do you want for Christmas? You know, what do you want for Christmas? I always look at them if they got their two front teeth. I always say, well, you already got your two front teeth. So what do you want for Christmas? You know, and you hear all these things that people want for Christmas. But, you know, there's only one great gift that we can give anybody, and that is the gift of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he is the reason for the season, that he is the Son of God who came being born of a virgin so that what? So that he could die on a cross for our sins and then be resurrected on that third day so that we can have eternal life. And he that hath the Son, he that believeth in the Son, John said, he has that eternal life. John said, I can't forgive you. Behold the Lamb of God. He's the only one that taketh away the sins of the world. Not me. He's the only one that can give you salvation. And so are we preparing that way of the Lord? Well, the last thing that I said is that John fulfilled his course. He did exactly what God had called him to do. We find in Acts chapter 13, verse 25 there, Paul in Acts says, and as John fulfilled his course and said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes I am not fit, what even worthy to loosen the latches of them. What did he say? John fulfilled his course. And he asked people, who do you think I am? I'm not anybody. I'm just that forerunner. I'm just trying to prepare people for Christmas. I'm trying to get them ready for the coming of the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. I'm nothing. He must increase and I must decrease. Oh, brothers and sisters, if only we would fulfill our course, if we would only understand that we're nothing, that Christmas is not all about us, it's all about Jesus, because he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, he is the Son of God, he must increase, he was from above, only he can give everlasting life. So this Christmas, are you getting ready for Christmas? Are you preparing people? The real job, the role of John the Baptist, well, he was not the Messiah, but his course was fulfilled because he told people that Jesus, he's the Son of God, he's the bridegroom, and he said, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. This morning, I'm not worthy either to untie his shoes, but I want to prepare you for Christmas, and the best way I can prepare you and get you ready for Christmas is to tell you about Jesus, because he is the reason that we're celebrating. Do you know him today? If you know him, if you believe in him, then the Bible says you have everlasting life. But if you don't believe in him, if you don't know him, then he says the wrath of God will be poured out upon you. What about you this morning? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. And Lord, I pray your blessings upon them. If there's one lost that, Lord, that really don't understand why we're celebrating this Christmas season, I pray today would be today, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. We're going to give you the honor and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.